are back again. This is the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Star Wars TV series, The Mandalorian, Chapter 6, The Prisoner. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us yet again as we delved deep into this Disney Plus television show. We're going to spoil the heck out of it. So if you haven't watched it or you don't want to get spoiled, go and watch it and then come back. Or if you just want to listen to us talk about it, that's fine too. If you want to join the conversation, go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter at Bennett Bros Pod or send us an email. BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. One more thing, go to patreon.com/BennettBrothersPodcast to help us out by going there. You can get some mini casts, do things like that. If you're familiar with our podcast, you know all about this spiel, so you should have done it numerous times now. But anyways, go there. We appreciate it. If not, still keep listening to us. Go to like iTunes, give us 5 stars if we deserve it, if you think we deserve it. That brings us more listeners, and that makes this even better, because now people contribute and we can talk to more people about it and more ideas and more things come in. It just expands the show, our show, the Bennett Brothers Podcast. Also, go to wordpress.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast to get all the previous episodes from every show we've ever done. 250-some. If you don't have to listen to them all to catch up. It's not like there's one long story arc here,
You always give a sales pitch. Hey, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, I don't. Like, if you're listening, that's what we really want. As long as you're listening, we love it. So
nah, I could go for money.
Money's good too, but we like you who just for being here. There's not a lot of news to get into. Jerry wants to talk about a couple things real quick though.
Yeah, we won't do much about news because there really hasn't been any, and we also want to get into this episode, which sometimes we tend to go a little bit longer, but we're gonna try and crunch that back down. Although this was a slightly longer episode, I do want to point out that I forgot to mention last week in our Get Pierce segment that Mr. Pierce did have a comment or two. Again, you comment, you get mentioned. It's great.
You might even get a segment.
Yeah. Or my friend Paul May, he had contacted me and he basically said, get to the show faster. You guys do too many news articles at the front. So see, that's what's happening. If you call forward and you say, hey, can you do it all in song? We definitely won't do that. So he wanted Ed Pierce.
We might do that.
I knew I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. Big mistake. So he wanted a comment on the last episode. Ed said that Amy Sedaris is a national treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And he also bet that Ming-Na was not dead. She was using one of the body double robots. So I think he was throwing it back to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, the LMD?
Yes, nice. The LMD. And that was his segment. Great job, buddy.
Thanks, Pierce.
Raise it at a higher bar. Okay, we are doing this episode a little bit sooner because that's what's happening with the schedule. The final two Mandalorian episodes of the season are moving from Friday to Wednesday, so it's coming sooner. And there's a little movie that comes out this week, Thursday, for us.
What?
Which complicates things.
Yes.
Not to mention whatever 9 or 10 episodes of The Runaways that just got released.
Did they dump them all?
I think they did.
Oh, no.
I think they did because I saw an Entertainment Weekly article said, what did that cliffhanger ending mean? I'm like, cliffhanger ending? Oh, no.
Well, they could be talking about the first episode, maybe.
No, they weren't.
Shoot. Why would they do that to us?
That's okay. We'll do it on our schedule. We will do it. We will do it.
Might be a 5 and 5 or something.
Well, we'll see. In January, we're going to have stuff. We can put them out then, watching it at our leisure. So, The Mandalorian, Episode 6, The Prisoner. Joel, your thoughts?
Yeah. This episode is awesome. I was going to, like, I'll pick a little things here and there. Nothing crazy, but, like, this is an awesome episode for lots and lots of different reasons. But I love this episode. You?
I loved this episode. It's a great episode. It's one of my favorites at this point. And then that's saying something in the show like this. Great episode. I liked, it's funny that you mentioned that you're going to nitpick at that. Mm-hmm. This is one thing I will say in general. I noticed this in more than one location online is I think because this has been getting such positive buzz for consistently episode in the world loves Baby Yodel. Want to make that thing, elected as an emperor for life. They love it. I think there are people who are like, this is too much. I can't be part of it. So I'm reading these articles or glancing at them where they're like, it was good, but it didn't do the story. It was good, but blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I'm not reading anything.
Emotions.
I'm not reading. Yeah, I'm catching a few more of those that I can see happening into the resentfulness of it. I think there's also a factor. I really truly think this is, there is a generation or a coming up generation that are so used to being able to binge it and do all 13 episodes in a weekend and then they can move on to some new subject matter that the fact that it's being talked about now 6 weeks in a row It's like, why are we still talking about this? We should be moving on to something else. And I'm resentful that it's still popular this long. So I pick up that that's happening with stuff. And I find it stupid. I don't think that's true at all. I think the show is being really solid. And this is a great show. A
interesting. Great show. As I was watching this episode the second time, something I was thinking about as I was watching it, there are certain television shows you watch when there is... Jerry and I refer to this, even I should say movies more or less, but like there's an artist sort of paint to it where there's layers of things going on and it's really deep and everything has a meaning and it's you can watch the movie for what it is, but then you can like really delve into it. Stanley Kubrick was a genius at this. There's a lot of other wonderful TV shows that do this. Bad Robot. Mr. Robot can do this at times. True Detectives does this a lot.
And the show that we just finished watching, which was the season finale, probably series finale of The Watchmen.
The Watchmen does this where every scene, there's things going on. You can analyze it. Now, this show doesn't necessarily do this. Now, the production design is phenomenal, but the production design goes, look what this character is wearing, and this is what it's eliciting the emotion of the character through the color they've chosen. It's there, but it's not to the nth degree. I actually just watched a small documentary on all the they had a couple of the costume designers, all the stormtroopers that have ever been in Star Wars, and they explain the evolution of them, and they go into it, and it's fascinating. Like even the jetpack troopers that you're seeing in the new movie, they talk about those a little bit, and they talk about the design of the helmets.
Send me the link to that. Put that on our Facebook.
Yeah,
I will.
It's interesting, and it like shows like their faces and how like the evolution of the scout trooper and going back and all the troopers, and that's interesting and deep stuff. But I don't know if it necessarily moves the story forward, other than just being a really well thought out. Like, oh, this is cool. Let's do it this way. And I think with this TV show, there's nothing in this TV show where I'm looking and going, oh, what's the overarching meaning here? What is going on with this? He's a dad, but he's like,
I don't think every show should be like that.
And I agree, but I think you lose some of the highbrowness that people really, you know, when people really judge television shows, they're like, this is a smart show. I mean, we watch The Wire, and The Wire has that smartness to it, or you know, West Wing. These shows like they have the highfalutinancy, and we like that. We definitely do.
Not
we like
West
diving
Wing,
into
Westworld.
It. Westworld, too. We love diving into that. But this show is definitely one of those shows that it's more popcorn. It's more, there's nothing
it's
deeper.
High quality you're
just,
popcorn.
You're, yep, you're just
high quality.
You're going along for the ride. There's nothing deeper. So we talk about this show, and we like to talk about things we like and don't like, but we're not analyzing
the
it.
The Mandalorian
in the sense,
is a representation of our inner spirit, and yes. Baby Yoda actually represents our id, meeting our ego.
And we're not talking about, you know, the way this represents us in society right now, how we're having father issues and things like that, which is, again, Watchmen, you watch it, and it talks about race, and which is okay. I'm okay if art
can also
represents
just watch
society.
Something and go, that's
exactly.
Awesome.
And so I think that's what this show is lacking, but doesn't take away from the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And away we go with episode 6, The Prisoner.
Chapter 6. But it's episode 6. We'll take it.
Bang, zoom. Yeah, so we get the Razor Crest ship coming in.
Razor Crest.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I know. Is that the first time we've actually heard the name of it?
No. We've heard it from almost the first or second episode, and we've heard it 3 or 4 times.
Okay, I don't watch.
They
show.
Were initially it's Razor Crest. I heard it because of a sponsorship. There was a point where they were going to call it Razor Colgate, and
as long as they didn't call it Razor Burn.
So we see the Razor Crest landing in a space dock. We're actually having an episode in space, other than that little dogfight scene we had earlier. It's
although
like,
they
oh
showed
God.
That in the recap. In the recap, they showed him killing all the different bounty hunters that are coming after him, which was interesting.
Yeah. But we find out that he is meeting up with a former partner, business partner, Ran.
Ranzar Malk.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you don't make any reference to Sons of Anarchy, because that would be a shock if this actor happened to be on Sons of
Anarchy. I will make
a
reference to Last Man on Earth, when he was on Last Man on Earth.
I would actually reference the fact that he was in Batman Begins.
That too. That's a pretty good one as well. No, Bobby from Sons of Anarchy. Yes. We're going to do it.
What's Rand's last name?
Malk. I believe M-A-L-K, unless my
got
voice
Malk.
Translate right. didn't translate properly.
Yeah, we find out that Mando actually reached out to him. And
looking for work.
Yes, and Rand actually knows about the guild, what happened with the guild. We hear our first mention here of all of a sudden their policy, no questions, which will come in relevant at the end of the episode. And he basically needs a ship and kind of calls out Mando, and Mando's like, that's not part of the deal. The fact that he's you know, like, is that thank you, or is that, you know, how do you feel, like, he's acknowledging, like, hey, you
well, he doesn't
out
want
to
he
me.
Doesn't want to give the shit because Yodel's in there, like, yeah. He wants to, like, that's a, he's like, ah, oh, damn it. Well, interesting, when they have this conversation here, they obviously they know each other, and the way he's talking to him, it's like he almost knows what his reactions are underneath his helmet. And this is a moment where I'm watching this going, I don't know if he's smiling under the helmet or if he's not smiling. Like, I don't know.
My
he could
impression
be.
Was,
I'm assuming he's not.
He's pissed too. But he's like, this is another deal. That's the impression
but
that I'm
we've
getting.
Never seen him in a position where he could be friendly. Or I mean, I guess it just doesn't exist. Maybe he's always just, I'm always angry. Like, we don't know.
I don't know about that. But it's funny that you mentioned under the helmet. I'm going to take a little sidestep here that kind of came out in the last week or so. We, as a show, we realize we've had discussions, as has the world, like the actor, Pedro Pascal, you know, like, will he take his helmet off and how does he do it? And clearly, like any other TV show, you look at it and go like, well, that was a stuntman in that role. And there's a stunt. When you expect that, you expect sure. that there's a stuntman, or if like something like Spider-Man and Iron Man, you're like, well, that's not even really there. It's computer
or James
generated.
Earl Jones is not even in the,
that's my point, is we deal with the fact that Darth Vader has been voiced by another actor. And that happens with a lot of stuff. And what we're finding out is not only is Pedro not always in the suit, sometimes he's never in the suit. In fact, we know this because Bryce Dallas Howard, who directed episode 4, I want to say, I believe it was 4, we got introduced to Cara Dune. She never worked with Pedro Pascal in the entire episode. He was off Broadway or doing something like that. So the actor who was playing him, there's two other guys who normally play him, stuntmen, and the one stuntman who played the most of him is actually John Wayne's grandson.
Yeah, I mentioned that previously.
Yeah, but the fact that have I had this whole conversation already?
No, we haven't had this conversation that he's not, he wasn't in there at all.
Oh, yeah, that's what came out. It was like, and of course, I'm sure Disney is like, we didn't want to talk about that, at least not initially, because we want you to like the character, and we don't want you to think about, oh, this is guy just the voice. We want to think that it's all his acting skills and abilities. And I don't want to take anything away from him like that. And it really won't affect me, but I doubt they're going to ever acknowledge it. In fact, there's probably somebody who's like, Bryce, why did you mention that? Don't say that, you know, and
shut
it's out
up.
There. And it's what are you saying? So I just wanted to make that point because that did come out and was getting a little bit of scuttlebutt for about a day and a half, and we've moved on to a new
look
subject
at these, scuttlebutt. Yeah.
And so obviously we moving back to the episode here, we are introduced to the character of Mayfield, played by comedian Bill Burke.
Bill Burr.
I know.
Not Bill Burke.
It's because my stupid spell corrected.
Bill Burr, one of the best comedians going right. these days. He's done other television shows. He did. He was in Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. He was in a couple of episodes of Breaking Bad. He was also in the movie. I think he was in The Fighter, or he was in. He plays that East, that like Bronx kind of Eastern. He's Boston. Fantastic. Boston, yeah. Sorry, he would be pissed if I said he's a big Boston fan. He's a huge Boston fan.
He's
phenomenal.
Probably would be as pissed as the fact that I messed his last name up.
He's one of those. He's one of those comedians that's just gotten better with age. And he's
well,
just
yeah, I agree
rocks.
With you on that. And I will also say this: guy does a great job in this role.
Yeah,
I thought his acting was great. His emotion when he kind of gets, you know, like, man, no, stop pointing that. When he actually does that thing, you're like, stop pointing that gun at me. I was picturing Reservoir Dogs. Stop pointing that gun at my dad. That same
cousin
thing.
Eddie.
Yes, he felt sort of like right in there. There's a couple of times, you know, I was never a stormtrooper. When he gets emotional like that, I really thought, because he's gone on record being sarcastically smart about these Star Wars kind of movies and stuff like that, and the fact that he's a part of it.
Oh
now,
yeah,
he's fantastic.
He seems like a good guy. Like
that'd be like
he's got anger problems. That's what he always.
That'd
says.
Be like the WTF host,
Mark Maron.
Mark Maron being in the Joker after the Joker, slamming all that stuff. It's like, yeah, guys, keep making jokes. That's the paycheck. So Mayfeld's in this. He's going to be running point on the mission.
There's a great joke right here.
And we find out that he's obviously a former Imperial sharpshooter.
Thought stormtroopers couldn't hit anything.
Yeah, and that's why he's like, I'm not a stormtrooper.
But ironically, I shouldn't say ironically, in this episode, he's behind three droids, and he has to shoot like 12, 15 shots to just hit three of them. And he has that automatic gun on his back.
Yeah,
so,
I
like,
wasn't sure
so
if that
has,
was true. Or
he,
that
has
was
a, th- he has a trouble shooting things. And I think that's a little nod to it. Like, yeah, he actually can't really shoot anything.
Well, then they later on in the episode, they are able to take out droids a lot faster than they were the first time when
Mando does
it.
Well, we'll
Mando
talk about that. We'll definitely get
yeah,
to
so,
that.
He makes a comment that when we go see the ship, he's like, oh, it looks like a Canto Bight slot machine, which Canto Bight is obviously in reference to the casino world. World, we call everything a world on this, from The Last Jedi. And then we get introduced to the crew. Again, this is a A Magnificent Seven yep. episode, or actually there's a great Star Wars comic book from that was like the first storyline that came out after the back in 77 after the movie adaptation, where it was basically a Magnificent Seven storyline. It's famous because it has the giant green bunny in it.
Yeah. Trust oh me. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that, you know, so this one obviously has he's Mandalorian is the fifth one here. And so we introduced the four other players. We've got Mayfield. And then we get introduced to, and my kid got this before I did, which shocked the heck out of me, the Deveronian character of Berg, played by Clancy Brown.
His first live-action Star Wars.
Yes, he's had two different voices in the cartoon series.
I thought it was three.
He was Savage Opress, who was Darth Maul's brother in the Clone Wars series, and then he plays a different character in Rebels. He's basically a fighter for good in that one. I can't remember his specific name.
Clancy Brown, he's been in
Kurgan. He's the Kurgan in Highlander. Ramirez. He's probably more
famous.
He's probably more famous for playing the jerk prison guard in Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
I think that's more people know that because that's a more widespread movie that's known. He's also the voice of Lex Luthor in the Superman animated series in Justice League. But anyways, one of my favorite all-time character actors. And the fact that I didn't catch it first, but my kid did, was awesome. So he's a Deveronian who is a devil-like character that was created for Star Wars in the Cantina bar sequence, which was just a throwaway mask that Rick Baker made up because they needed to put more aliens. So he made like a devil helmet and everything. And then it's in the movie. So then obviously Star Wars then goes, well, that's the Deveronian race, and they made him up like that.
He wasn't the third. He played Montrose, which is also a Mandalorian, in Star Wars Bounty Hunter. I don't know what Star Wars Bounty. It might be a book. An audio adaptation. 2002.
Probably a video game. He's done video game characters. That would be my guess. We are also introduced to the droid who will be flying the ship named Zero. Now, this droid's body is very similar. It's obviously played by an actor, and I can't remember what this one's particular name unless Joel gets that. He's got a body, C-3PO-like, but he's got a bug-like head.
It is a video game. So PlayStation 2, he played a Mandalorian. That's fantastic.
Yeah, but this droid, I'm not sure what kind of specific droid that is, but it has like a bugs-like head, which I think we've seen something like this before, like in a Jawa sandcrawler or something.
Well, the actor is Richard, A-Y-O-A-D-E, Yodi.
Okay.
Something like that.
Does fine. Zero's great. And then we're introduced to our final character of the team. It is a Twi'lek named Zahn. And Zahn is, first off, she has a history with the Mandalorian. We don't know what it is.
I can explain some of that.
But it is played by the actress who plays this. I was like, I know that voice. It's Tonks from Harry Potter, as well as Aisha or whatever from Game of Thrones. Asha, thank you. So she's just got she just did her trifecta. She's now part of Star Wars, Game of Thrones, and Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Hopefully, she does better and lasts longer in this series than she did in either of those other ones. Spoiler.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, like I said, they have a history. We get our characters all on the ship. We're gonna move forward here. Zero is looking and he's seeing the remnants of the holo message, but he's not sure what it is. That's a little setup later. And where we're learning about the actual mission.
So I can explain a little bit about. Who she is. So she mentions a previous thing they did together on, I believe, let me get the exact name of it here. It's coming, guys. I apologize. She has done something with him on Azos 3, I believe it is.
Yeah, Elzok.
What the heck happened to my information on this?
Well, that comes up later.
Okay, we can talk about it later then. All right, okay.
That's okay. Fine. I actually jumped a little forward. They actually haven't gotten on the ship left. That was because Zero was on the ship. We find out that what they're going to go for is a New Republican prison ship, which is, he's been told, is just being manned by droids. And the reason they need the Razor Crest is because that ship is off the grid of both the old Imperial and the New Republic, so that's why they need the ship. The droid is going to be piloting, and we get the droid showing his portal coming out of his hand that he uses to interface with things, and so that's kind of a little bit of a foreshadowing towards what's happening late in this episode, because I've never seen it on anything other than an R2 unit, is that particular interface.
Which is interesting because he has such a disdain for droids, and we don't know why yet.
No, we do not.
And that's obviously, I think that's going to come up at some point. Maybe it was the battle droid that killed his family or something like that.
That's a really good guess, yeah. I also want to point out at this time that the music in this episode, still done by the same guy, is fantastic again because it goes in a totally different direction. It's got a little more techno because we're dealing in a world of, you know, the ship and how it looks very uniform and its hallways, and it kind of has a more modern feel, I guess you could say, versus an organic feel on all the planets. Even the Mandalorian's theme, which you still hear throughout the episode, is more, it's different. It's all in a different family, which I love. There's like this driving beat, this and I was like, yes, this is great. We're counting down a clock. A clock has happened. They got to get this stuff done.
Nice.
I loved it.
So the ship can get close, but they're going to use droids to fly the ship. They're going to use the droid to fly the ship. Interesting. The droids can fly better than people. I know they delve into that a little bit with Solo, but we never actually see that. I mean, in the Clone Wars a little bit too, there's obviously ships being flown by drones.
Some of those ships are droids.
Droids.
The, you know.
But like, that's never like, humans always, or the people, they're not humans, but people always tend to fly ships better than droids.
Not by themselves. Every one of those X-Wings has a droid with them.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then obviously the Millennium Falcon has a droid in it.
Yeah, so I would say that's just part of it, is that the droid has to make the interface happen. So.
Huh, good point. Good. Maybe they're together, they fly better together. I don't know.
So down in the hole, we see that Berg has actually stumbled upon the guns, which the Mandalorian then closes the door on him.
I got to point out, too, Bill Burr being in this episode, I'm always waiting for him to make wisecracks because he's so funny in real life. And he is pretty funny in this episode. But it was just like, I kept waiting for it, though, because he's so recognizable to me. Like, there's Bill. It's not Mayfield. It's, or, no, you're having me do
Mayfield.
It. Mayfield. It's Bill Burr. So
he makes the comment that the Mandalorians are the greatest warriors in the galaxy. And this is where we also find about the history between Zahn and we talked about the planet or city or whatever of Elzok 3 job. Did you want to talk about that? Or
I can. Every time I try to get my note for it, it disappears. Mm-hmm. But I also want to point out, she's balancing a knife during this scene.
Yeah, or whatever it is.
I
think it's more like, because when she throws it, it's got lights on it.
Yes, I can balance things on my fingers pretty good, like hats and knives I can do to a degree. She's not balancing that knife. That's either held up by a string or that's not even there.
No, obviously. Also, just so we're clear, that's not her skin color or her hair.
so Elzok 3 had to dive into deep into the Star Wars mythos to find what Elzok 3 is.
Deep dive.
Elzok 3, a frozen, icy planet populated solely by the furry four-eyed Talls. Elzok 3 was nevertheless rich in natural resources. The Empire, an organization slowly populated by giant evil assholes, discovered the planet and immediately enslaved the Talls, keeping the entire Enterprise off the galactic registry so the brutal operations could continue unimpeded by labor laws. It was liberated after the Death Star 2.0 was destroyed above Endor, sending the remnants of the Empire into safe corners of the galaxy.
So that's more about the city. That's not necessarily what happened.
Not what happened to them.
You're just giving the
but
location.
If they were together, this was during the Empire's time together.
Unless it happened 3 years ago, before the Empire or after the Empire fall, because this is 5 years
could.
After Jedi.
I think it happened farther back.
I do because of the character being older, especially Rand being older.
I think that's interesting that this exists in the world. Yeah.
In this sequence here, this is all about trying to get his helmet off. They're kind of referencing that, how these characters are dealing with it. I like how Zan makes the comment about when they were together. She's like, "This is the way." Which, again, if you're drinking at home or that line, that's where
you do.
Here's another.
It.
And the Gungan joke was here too.
Yeah, the Gungan joke when they make
the
fun
Misa.
Of the.
Yeah, that was so
Bill
Burke. That was perfect.
I really like
Burr.
That.
Why do you keep saying Burke?
so we find out Mando's done stuff in the past. But one thing I wanted to point out here that got me a little bit during the first. During the first watch, the second watch wasn't as bad. You got these TV actors on here, and they're doing their thing. Every time the camera's on them, they're like mugging to the camera, like, she's always like doing this thing, and I'm like,
every time.
Oh, it happens a lot. Clancy Brown's out, Berg's always doing it to her, and it's just like, stop mugging to the camera. But they're bad. They're psychopaths, so I'm okay.
Yeah, that's how
I took it.
Yeah, it wasn't really.
It wasn't as bad. It was the first time I was watching. I'm going. They need to stop mugging so much for the camera. Every time the camera's in, like, action.
Okay. And also in this sequence, this is when Yodel gets revealed to the group, where he kind of basically says he's his pet. And there's a tension during this sequence. And then our droid at this point drops the ship out of hyperspace, and the baby gets dropped.
A baby gets dropped.
A 50-year-old baby gets
dropped. Oh, my God. Come on. I was like, oh, no. Nothing happened, though.
No.
It can clearly walk and move itself around and catch itself if it needs to. It's like Yoda, right? Yoda, oh, it's an old man in a cane until he needs to use his lightsaber. Da-da-da.
All right, so our guys get onto the ship, and they start heading to where they need to go. And we get to see some prisoners in cells. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed here was we see the species that was the pilot Jon Favreau played in Solo. We see the four-armed creature there, which was the pilot, that Woody Harrelson's partner that got killed. Spoiler. We see what looks like a former Imperial.
That was awesome. I don't know why, but it's like, hey, there's an Imperial officer.
And we see the giant from Goonies. Ruth, baby, you know,
sloth,
yeah, sloth is in the gang. You always like wonder what happened. Where's Chunk? You know, and we see a mouse droid which gets blasted.
Yeah, no, but let's put mouse droid doesn't get like Berg's like, look at this, and like, what are you doing? Nice. Berg's not the smartest of
no, that's
creatures.
Fine. We get a droid fight here.
Have we seen these droids before?
I do not think so.
Yeah, they I don't recognize them.
This is from a different time period. We don't know what's going on here. This is a new kind of ship we haven't seen. This is all new stuff that we would only have seen in the new Force Awakens era of movies.
Well, it still could have been from the Imperial. The droids.
It could be from another planet.
Exactly. I think these are new types of droids. I don't know.
Well, new to us, yes.
Well, those are new droids. But we'll keep going. Keep going.
We get the droid fight here. We could also see Mayfield. The Mayflower was a ship that flew. We also see the back gun get used. You know, the second gun, the third gun behind his back.
Gun that comes out, his backpack.
Yes, which should be extremely accurate because he's not even doing it. That sequence is really fine. I like it. It's all good. And then we go towards.
Well, it's a good scene, but. Like, he sneaks around behind them, right? But he has to run up and slide and cut one of its legs. Why don't you just shoot the damn thing?
I think because there was four, and the idea was if he shoots, he'll get one for sure. Maybe two. He's showing them what he's capable
of. I think this also goes back to what you said last podcast. If you haven't listened to it, go back listen to it. Jerry brought the point of, like Wolverine, the Mandalorian gets shot a lot.
Did you notice that now that
I'm noticing
that?
I'm like, he got shot again. Like, oh, he's getting shot here. It's because he's got the armor on. Like, luckily he has that armor, or he'd be dead 10 times over in this series already.
Yeah, and maybe, exactly. So we get to the command center where we see a pilot of the ship. And this particular pilot, I didn't know this the second time, is somebody who has a Star Wars background. It is, in fact, the voice actor, whose name is?
Matt Leitner.
Who does the voice
Lanter,
of Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars cartoon series and briefly in the Rebels series, which the second time watching, I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is.
It's an awesome little cameo. It's cool that they gave him a part in it. I know he plays a character, Davan, D-A-V-A-N. So,
yes.
But he doesn't make it out of the episode. So
Davin. That's
Davin. Davan. Yeah. Davin. Sorry.
Sorry. No, what are you talking about? I keep saying Bill Burke on the Mayflower, so you're fine. I'm all over the moose droid. You mean mouse droid? Yes, that one.
The Mises.
Yes. He is holding in his hand a tracking beacon.
Uh-oh.
Joel, why has he not pushed this button already? If he pushes the button, he's like, they're on their way.
And then he gets shot.
What's his, so he's like, hey, don't.
If he goes,
don't
shoot me, I won't push the button.
He
wants to save his life. That's what he's.
Yeah. This sequence was again Reservoir Dogs. They're guns at each other, and that's when he goes. Mm-hmm. He goes, "Don't you aim that gun at me?" I'm like, "Don't you shoot? Don't you point that gun at my father, Cousin Eddie?" I mean, it is. It really is. But it's all basically the tension is diffused because Zahn throws one of her magic knives and kills Davin. And then we see that the beacon has been activated. They have 20 Imperial minutes. To get everything done.
20 Imperial minutes.
Yeah, and I also notice again here, like the music, there's this doom, 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 oh, the driving beat here is fantastic in this music. We come across a scene where Berg, he destroys two droids. These big droids, these are droids that are about the size of Robbie the Robot, which we've seen before.
There are one Astromech series.
They've always just been in the background
We've seen them in Tatooine.
Yes.
In the first episode, but they never float.
No.
They like shuffle around.
Yes. So he just makes short work
cool
of them. It's cool, and it's cool to see his power. And we finally get to where we're picking up a character named Quinn, who is another Twi'lek and the brother of Zahn, in a prison here. Sal, do you know anything about the actor?
Nope.
I mean, I didn't
know anything about the
actor. I read and I didn't see anything that was relevant to me anyways. No. And we see that Mando has been betrayed here, and he is thrown into the cell, which apparently the cell is ray shielded. So when you shoot a bolt
it's
in there,
awesome. It's awesome. And then he gets shot again,
mm-hmm. which is right out of the episode 4, the garbage compactor scene. Yes. Mando's locked up. Zero, then, meanwhile, on the ship, has heard the full message of the guild, and he's got more information. Mando does a really great sequence where he escapes, and we get to see that he used the droid's
arm. We also see Quinn jumping loyalties a lot here. Like, I'll help you, or I'll take care of it. Like, I'll pay you more, things
that's
like
not
that.
It. That's not
No, I think, but we can see it a little bit in this.
Yeah, and we don't know the position that he has within the group. Is he partners with Ran back on the ship, or is he just one of his? Was he a toady? I mean, obviously he's putting in something to get him, so that's interesting. Man, like I said, Mando escapes. He gets to the command center, and he basically turns the ship into horror movie lighting, mm-hmm. which was awesome. Lowering doors, which splits the group up. Meanwhile, back in the Razor Crest, Yodel's messing with Zero. Great sequence where he's looking at him, turns away, he's gone. Fantastic stuff.
Did that later in the episode too with Fantastic. The Mandalorian.
And one of the times we get split up here, this is what you were talking about, is he is basically, Quinn doesn't care about his sister.
No. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, in fact, he offers Mayfield triple his share just to get him there. And at this point, also, Mando is back in the command room, and he grabs that tracker.
Yes. We mentioned this in the start of the episode, but when he's talking to, when Mando is on the space station, and he's talking to Ran, Ran's like, oh, I never trust anybody. Never trust anybody, and that's going to come into play. And I don't know why Mayfield trusts Quinn in any way, shape, or form, but he shouldn't.
All right. At this point, Joel will now take over because my notes are done.
Well, we get the moment where Berg is now going into the command center. I think I might have skipped some stuff here, but he's walking into the little command room where Davin died.
Who's going in there?
Berg.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And he's walking in, and Mando's up in the ceiling, and then Mando shoots his rope out and tries to hang him.
Pulls him down.
And my first time I watched this, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but first time I'm like, why didn't he just shoot him from above? Dead. Like, done.
Because he's not killing. That's mm-hmm. that's our hero
and that, but
in this
that's,
movie. He doesn't
but
have
I,
to.
But it comes into play. I'll get into that more. But so this fight happens, right? He's using his rope, he gets captured, and all those little bullet things, Jerry had a count, yep.
Yeah.
Jerry had a count on them, and I'm assuming they're all gone now.
They've got to be all gone now.
Because those fire, and they do nothing, he barbecues.
What are those called, the whistling?
Whistles, yeah, I have to go back to my notes.
Whistling sparrows, or...
He barbecues his face, and it doesn't do anything.
Yes, he's Deveronian. He's a devil.
Devil, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. What's great here is first time he gets caught under the door, Debbie's like, oh, God. Because, again, we've established doors cutting people in half
in the
very first
episode. Brilliant.
So when he's picking the door up, it's like, uh-oh. And the fact that they use the second door to crush it. At that point, did you think,
oh, he's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, of course I did.
Great
moment.
That's why
at this point I was like, after all this, he could have just shot him from the damn ceiling.
I'd like to point out also that the Deveronian species, the female Deveronians, are hornless. That's what I've been
reading. So the males are horny, is what you're saying? It's terrible. They literally did that joke on purpose. Mayfield encounters the droids and shoots them all from behind.
He's really good at that point.
No,
he makes short work of them.
Yeah, but he has the three guns with their backs turned, and he shoots like 15 times before he can hit them. I don't know what it was. I should have counted. And that's that's to show that he's a stormtrooper, Imperial officer. And he
or
can't
to show that Mando is so much better by making other people not as good at him.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. So yeah, he meets up with Zan. Who knows? But then so she's throwing her magic knives at him, and I thought this scene was really cool. When she's throwing the knives and he's blocking them
and
all.
And then when he finally hits her, do you think, oh, she's dead too? Because this at this point, when we didn't see him kill her, that's when I went like, oh, because it happened off like went mm-hmm. off camera. I'm like, huh.
Yeah, but you still think Berg is dead?
No, well I started to slightly doubt it just because I'm like, why didn't they show her dead? And I mean, not initially, but when I felt like, oh, maybe she's not dead, then I'm like, wait a minute, she's not dead.
But Berg was definitely one of those people that you watch and you're like, oh, he dead. Because they did the joke like, I killed him. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, they got it. That's the joke. Like, they got him with the other door.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm assuming this is the sequence when Zero is trying to hunt for the baby and the baby's ducking around corners and everything, which is adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we get to Mando and Mayfield.
Yes. Yes, and then Mando sneaks up behind Mayfield, and that another scene where he's there, he's not. He's
there. Great he's not. Scene. Love that.
And he
scene.
Captures and he gets him, and Mayfield screams and.
Yeah, but
Quinn has already boarded the ship.
But again, we don't see him. So at that point, I was like, "Oh, he didn't kill any of them." Actually, mm-hmm. I'm like, "How are they going to bring him back?" Like, but I don't think he killed any of them. Which again, I love because don't kill your villains off. They can come back, and you're going to be like, it could be come back two seasons from now, and you're going to be like, there was those guys again. I love that. Love it. That's mm-hmm. how you do it. That's how you bring back Boba Fett. You bring back anybody, and you're like, yes. I don't want to have new villains every time. I don't mind new villains. These were new now, but you don't have to be dead at the end of them.
I do like when dead is dead, though. Mm-hmm. There's a.
By the way, that's the actor who played. I'm showing him the play yeah. Zero. You've seen him.
Yeah,
been
I named his name.
I know, but we didn't mention what anything he was in. I don't remember him being. He's very big in England.
IT Crowd. He was in. Yeah.
That stupid the Watch. Movie. That movie, Evolution movie with David Duchovny, or whatever it was. It was a terrible comedy. It was supposed to be his big break over here. Oh, that's so good. All right, so then we get to meeting Quinn.
Yep, he meets Quinn. Quinn tries to get away again. Tries to barter his way out of it, and we don't actually see what happens here. Because Quinn's like, if you kill me, you don't get paid. And then it kind of ends there. And
Quinn is played by Cruz Cordova, which, again, why don't you just use that name? Because that's a space alien name. Mm-hmm. Cruz Cordova, the bounty hunter.
And so we cut back to the ship where Zero finds the
baby. Yoda, and Baby Yoda's starting to use the Force.
Which is awesome.
But then Zero is blasted from the back. And that's when the little
Baby Yoda looks at his hand like, what? That was awesome.
That was a great sequence.
So Zero is dead. That's a droid is dead. They can always bring droids back. He's captured Quinn. And
we go back to Ran.
Back to Ran. And then, Ran basically tries to pull a fast one on him by, you know, you get the
he
money.
Pays for him.
Pays for him.
And I love this is the brought back of the Mandalorian. He asks him, where are the rest? And he goes, no questions, mm-hmm. which was great. There was a reference back to that.
And then he pays him, and then he goes to leave, and then Ran's like, kill him. And they're going to send a gunship after him.
So meanwhile, the Razor Crest is going as slow as possible getting away because it's in the shot, which should be like flying away as we're seeing a gunship slowly rise up. And then we hear the tracker is on Quinn. He realizes yes. it's the tracker.
Brilliant.
And then boop, 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 we get three X-Wings come in to a base that has no defense.
That's fair. We don't know. I mean, there's no ace pilots there trying to defend the base.
No. But speaking of pilots,
yeah.
we have three pilots here.
Yeah, these three pilots are the show's directors. At least three of them. I didn't write down their names, but
Rick Famuyiwa.
He's the one who directed this episode.
And Deborah Chow.
So they all get an appearance here. The interesting, I saw this note. I'm not taking credit for this, but they're wearing yellow Rebel Alliance starboard sigils on their helmets. And this was originally the sign of the Tirfin yellow aces, which are from the books. However, these versions have been updated to include a ring of tiny stars around them, indicating they serve the New Republic. So there you go. These are from the Aftermath books, the Tirfin aces.
I have read those. Those are all good. I didn't
so
know
that was. I thought that was interesting.
Dave Filoni plays the character of Trapper Wolf. Rick plays a character named Jim Dodger. And Deborah Chow plays Sash Ketter.
I don't think we'll see these characters ever again, but
no,
it was cool. Cool cameo, and they come in and they shoot up the base.
I don't think Rand gets destroyed here. I think Quinn dead.
Oh, he's like standing right next to the ship when they blow that whole hangar up. If he lives,
and the Mandalorian gets away, and this is also when we go back to the prison trip, and we see that all three of our villains are in the cell together. And Berg's horns have been cut down. He's like, hot, hot. So I love that. Oh, it was great. And that?
It's clever. We get a little thing in the ship, too, where he gives the little ball back to Yoda, Baby Yoda, and he goes, I told you this was a bad idea. I mean, I don't know if he might have been like, oh, this is a bad idea. I don't want to do this, but we have to do it because we need money. Who knows? Like, I think that might have been the conversation. The only other thing I want to mention is, this is, Jerry did this last week with me, where he showed me a picture of the ending credits, because we get the paintings at the end of the credits again. And there's one of the paintings, which have all the characters in it. If you, let me turn it this way, it'll be better for you.
I do remember seeing it.
Who's that character all the way to the right? So it has the bounty hunters, and it has, you see the bounty hunter of the Twi'lek, you see the bounty hunter of Berg, and there's another bounty hunter there, or another criminal or something like
Who
that.
Who do you
there.
Think that is?
I don't. It might be Zero. It might be they changed Zero to this character. I don't know, but it's clearly an alien. It's not a droid. It's not an alien we've seen.
Yeah.
So that could be from, you know, the Boba Fett thing again. Or we
early,
don't know.
Or early. The storyboards, yeah, before they realize.
So that's something, yeah, if you point. Keep that's an eye point. Out for those things, because they're on there. It's interesting. Yeah. Well, it's like the Ralph McQuarrie paintings. Like, you see them, and after. They don't, you see them, like, they don't look like Star Wars in a lot of ways. There's a lot of
the early
stuff.
Ones, yes. The later movies he did, yes. They start looking more
but
and
interesting,
more.
They, yeah. They added some stuff from those paintings, those early paintings. They later add them in.
Oh, and in the Rebels, Zeb is based on what Chewbacca was supposed to initially
yeah,
look
so
like.
They added in later in the show, or in the universe, and I think that's kind of fun.
Yep. And that brings us to the end of this episode, which, again, Joel, your opinion change at all or better?
No, it's still awesome. I mean, the nitpicking I had on it was a personal thing, like with the mugging and stuff like that. But I do think overall this episode was really well done. I didn't even mention that when we get to the end, when he's talking with Quinn, and Quinn's like, you need to have me in order to collect your bounty and all that kind of stuff. The Mandalorian theme song kicks in right there. And that's like the deeper level of stuff where it's going, oh, what he like the Mandalorian is an honorable person. He's not necessarily black. He's gray, but
yeah,
at this
said,
point
yeah,
now
said,
he's
yeah.
now he's on the good side of things. And so I like that the music reinforced that.
Yep. Great episode. We are going to continue obviously with this. The next Mandalorian will be coming up really fast. I don't know how fast we're going to get the podcast in, but it will. I'm assuming we'll get that podcast out before the Star Wars one. We're going to try and get them out relatively soon.
Probably do them the same day, maybe.
Maybe. It's going to be tricky watching The Next Mandalorian on Wednesday because, for me, it's the season finale, the three-hour season finale of Survivor that night. Just trying
to
watch
it. And for me, it's my birthday, so there you go.
Okay. Happy birthday
to you. Well, I will be watching it.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be tricky if it ties into Star
Wars. Because you have to watch
it
for Star Wars.
Well, if it doesn't tie in, then you don't have to. We don't know yet.
Hey, man.
And if it does tie in, it's going to be super.
As we have Kevin Feige saying, TV shows and the movies are jumping back and forth for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know why they can't do it for this. This is...
I don't think they will, but that's interesting.
They changed the dates for things to get this out on a Wednesday before the
movie.
Well,
they didn't want to compete on a Friday, but that's what they're saying. We're going to find out as we talk about it in our next podcast. And again, we're going to try and get the Runaways out there. But that brings us to the end of this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, please give us a review and or a 5-star rating. Please, please, please. It's so simple and it is so helpful to us. And if you mention anything, we will mention you on our next podcast, which will be coming down the line shortly. And until then... As always, I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Burke. I'm Joel Bennett. We'll talk to you next time.